continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Most of us live our lives based on some assumptions. We think we know where we came from, and we believe that says something about who we are. But what happens when you find out your life is based on a lie? What do you do, and who do you become?
That is the central issue facing the main character in April Henry's latest book, The Girl I Used to Be. The young adult mystery novel is a journey of self-exploration, and it's based on a real-life murder mystery.
Henry is a New York Times best-selling author. She's written more than a dozen young adult mystery novels. She was in Milwaukee to talk about her latest book and visited several schools in the area as well.
She joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio, who started off by asking Henry about an unusual anecdote.
I read a very interesting story about you, and I need you to tell me if it's true. You got your start at a very young age when you sent a short story to Roald Dahl.
That is true. I was about 11 or 12, and I wrote a story about a 6-foot-tall frog named Herman who loved peanut butter. And I decided that Roald Dahl, the guy who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda, would really like to read my story. I told my dad. And my dad could have said that was a dumb idea, because why would I think this famous person would want to read my story? But instead, he suggested that I try sending it to Roald Dahl, care of his publisher in New York. So I sent off this story, and I'm pretty sure it was written in pencil on wide ruled paper. And I sent it to his publisher, and it actually made its way over to England. And eventually, he sent me back a postcard telling me that he had read this story to his daughter and his secretary, and that they had both loved it. And what he didn't say was that he actually took it with him to lunch, and he showed it to the editor of this children's magazine called The Puffin Post. And she contacted me and asked if she could publish my story. So Roald Dahl helped me get my start as a writer.
That's so funny.
It's really cool. I still have this old postcard that he sent me in 1972.
So how did you move from the 6-foot-tall frog who loves peanut butter to young adult mystery novels?
Well, it was a kind of a winding route. I probably stopped writing when I was about 12. I just thought writers don't grow up in little logging towns in Southern Oregon. They probably grow up someplace way cooler, like New York or San Francisco. And I just didn't think it was possible for somebody like me to be a writer. So I stopped writing, which of course made that whole thing come true. Once you stop doing something, you make it so you're not going to be what you were dreaming of being. And then when I was about 30, I started writing again, and it took me... It wasn't until my fourth book that I got published, and I was writing mysteries and thrillers for adults. And then I read this crazy story in the New York Times about a kid who was walking to school when a van pulled up and two men jumped out and threw him in the back, locked the doors, and sped off. And he was certain he was being kidnapped by some serial killers, but it turned out that his parents had paid these people to kidnap him and take him to an overseas boot camp, because no kid's going to volunteer to go to an overseas boot camp. And I thought when I wrote this story starring a 16-year-old character, because I had to have a character of school age, I thought it was an adult book with a teen character. And my agent read it, and she said, no, you have written a young adult novel. I sell a lot of them, and this is a book for teens. So it was kind of an accidental foray into writing YA, which is what we call young adult. But it turns out I really love that group. That audience is wonderful. So now I just had my 8th book for teens come out. And it's called The Girl I Used to Be.
Why do you love the young adult audience? You know, as part of your trip to Milwaukee, you actually went to several schools to talk about the importance of reading, writing, research.
Exactly.
And that's something you do all over.
Do it all over the United States. First of all, if you are speaking to adults, adults who like you and adults who dislike you look exactly the same. They look very polite. They clap politely. If teens are not interested in what you're saying, you know exactly when they lost interest, because they start shifting in their seat, nudging their neighbor, talking to each other. So when you see enthusiasm from them, you know it's real. And the fact that I can hear from readers who say, I read one of your books and I never was a reader before, and I've decided I like books and I'm starting to read a lot, to know that you can change someone's life, because I think if you become a reader, it does change your life. That makes a huge difference for me. And I did have that one time with an adult wrote me and said she had seen one of my books in a Scholastic book fair. She was 34 years old. She had never read a book. So she picked up one of these books for teens, and then she finished it, and she was so proud of herself, and she sent me a note saying she was a reader now. But I mostly get those letters more from like 8th graders. But it's cool that you can make such a big difference in a teenager's life.
So let's talk about the latest book, The Girl I Used to Be. What inspired you to write this story?
Well, it's based, like most of my books, it's based on something real that happened. There was a real couple in the 1980s, and their names were Mike and Diana. They lived in Washington State, and they were not married. They had a three-year-old. They fought a lot. And she actually had a restraining order on him. He had burst into her apartment, and they were having an argument, and he pushed her face on the floor. So she got a restraining order. But families are complicated, and it was around Christmas time. And he called her, and he said, why don't we go into the woods and look for a Christmas tree, and we'll take our daughter with us. And cutting down your own Christmas tree is very common in Oregon and Washington. And so they didn't tell anybody where they were going, and there is lots of forest around there. So they went out, and they never, ever came back. Meanwhile, this three-year-old turns up at a Kmart like 90 minutes away, and she was too young to tell anybody her name, and it took them about a week to figure out that it was the daughter of the missing couple. Then they would ask her what happened, and all she ever said was, "Mommy's in the trees." It wasn't until 6 weeks later that some guy walking his dog found the woman's body, and she had been buried in the snow, and she'd been stabbed to death, and they thought, well, they must have had one last terrible fight, and the dad must have taken the daughter to the Kmart, and then he was on the run in the U.S., and that was how that girl grew up, thinking that her dad killed her mom, took her to the Kmart, and took off. Then 5 years ago, I was reading the paper, and it said that a hiker had been in the same area of the woods where the woman's body was found, an area that actually had been searched numerous times, and the hiker's dog found a bone. The bone turned out to be human. DNA matched the dad. They now realize that an unknown person killed both parents, took their daughter to the Kmart, probably figuring she was too young to say what she had witnessed. And I thought that would make a really interesting premise for a book. In real life, I don't believe they're going to solve that crime. I think the girl was too young to know what happened, and probably all the evidence is, you know, long gone or degraded. But I took it and I put it down in Medford, Oregon, where I'm from. I made it more modern so that it happened 14 years ago, and the girl is now 17 and has moved back home once she's learned that her dad was not a murderer but was instead a victim, and she's trying to figure out what happened to her parents and who killed them.
It's a story that we can all relate to in a lot of ways because we find out these facts about our own lives, mm-hmm. that we've built lives based on this idea of who we are and where we come from. And a lot of the time we find out that's not exactly true.
Right.
So this book ends up being not just really a murder mystery, but also, I don't want to call it a coming of age story, but it is a journey of sort of self-discovery.
Right. Like a lot of teen books are kind of about a character learning something about themselves or about the world. And the reader might learn right along with them, or at least be open to new ideas that they weren't thinking of before they started reading the book.
In that same sort of vein, you know, we have a lot of young adult novels where we see these girls who start off as these very weak characters, mm-hmm. who are, you know, rather timid, who throughout the story gain this strength, mm-hmm. become stronger. But in The Girl I Used to Be, I don't think we really see that. Right out of the gate, Ariel is a very streetwise woman. She's very confident in a lot, mm-hmm. of ways, even though her inner monologue might lead you to believe, mm-hmm. otherwise. She does present as this very confident woman. And it would have been easy to make her a victim, given the experiences that
in
we know
she's... In the circumstances.
Yeah. Why did you choose to go the other way?
Well, I guess I would always end with a character who is kind of a kick butt character, but so I think she does become stronger as the book goes along. But in a way, I also think she becomes more vulnerable because she has been in foster care almost her whole life since her parents were killed and her grandmother died. And she's kind of cut herself off and not let herself have relationships, or she's afraid of them because people die and things change and she doesn't want to get hurt again. So in a way, she maybe starts off a little too strong, a little too walled off in terms of her emotions. And then the book is about her sort of learning that it's okay to love again and it's okay to have a family again. And even if you have losses, it's still worth it to have that love. There's a character in the book named Nora that's very, it's basically based on my mom. I was writing the book and taking care of my mom while she was on hospice, and I wanted a way to keep my mom alive again. So I put my mom in the form of Nora and gave her to Ariel, who's going by the name of Olivia by this point, so that that's one of the things that teaches her it's okay to love again. It's okay to care about somebody.
No matter how you go about it, it's going to be dark material. It's just the nature of the genre. How do you make that palatable for a young audience?
Well, there's, I think, certain lines that I won't cross. I've moved away from any swear words. Now I just say someone swore. You know, he swore. You don't need to say exactly what he said. I'm sure we could probably all imagine it. Even a sixth grader could probably imagine what he said. I don't dwell on violence. I don't make it, like, kind of sexy. And speaking of sex, the characters are not sexually active in my books. You know, there might be a lot of romance or like someone they like. But so I try and keep all of that so that the fact that you're confronting sort of a dark thing that your parents were killed, it still is not rising to a level that is going to make it too intense for a teenager. My books are rated, though, for 12 to 18. It's not really like they're meant for fourth graders or whatever, but for middle school and high school, they're perfect. And I have a lot of adult readers that read my books, too.
So many of your novels are part of series.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to see more of Ariel? Do you see her going in that direction?
You know, for her, I think this might just be her one appearance on the world stage. I feel like she's been through a lot. I don't necessarily want to put her through anything more. But I said the same thing for a long time about one of my most popular books, Girl Stolen. And then I had a great idea for a sequel. So that's coming out next year. It's my next book. So I guess I'm never going to say never. But for right now, I don't have any plans to put her through any more trauma.
That's fair. Well, April, thank you so much for coming
in studio.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
And thanks for coming to Milwaukee.
April Henry is a New York Times bestselling author who's written more than a dozen young adult mystery novels. Her latest book is called The Girl I Used to Be. She was in Milwaukee earlier this month, and she spoke with Joy Powers.